2 and Hebrews chapter 9. Romans 2 and Hebrews 9. Jonathan Simpson is also going to be speaking on the Da Vinci Code, which was scheduled for second Sunday in October, but in deference to Brother Don's visitor, I'll ask Jonathan if he'll reschedule that for the third Sunday in October. Those of you who are interested in Latin, let me give you the opposite terms for tabula rasa. Tabula rasa means empty slate. It's what Freud believed about the child. It's what Locke believed about the child. Tabula rasa, blank slate. You'll recognize these words, or at least their derivatives in English, paluta, tabula paluta, where we get our word polluted. And that word, paluta, appears in the Latin Vulgate in Leviticus 11 and 32. Or tabula nefasta, like nefarious. Tabula nefasta, meaning contrary to divine law. The conscience's job is to perceive the divine law, but it is nonetheless tabula nefasta, contrary to divine law. You've heard of the word impeccable. Generally, we associate that with spotlessness. Another Latin term, opposite to rasa, is tabula peccata, meaning that which is spotted or soiled. This is an easy one, tabula aliena, such as an alien, tabula aliena, alien tablet. The conscience and moral consciousness in fallen man are tabula aliena, alien tablets. That particular word, aliena, is in the Latin Vulgate of Job. For our listeners who are doctors, immunda, I-M-N-U-N-D-A, immunda, tabula immunda. When you get an immunization, you get a soiled or poisoned needle to make you immune. The canvas of a child's heart is immune to the law of God, though it's written upon it. In its fallenness, it is tabula immunda. So listen to the words again. Tabula polluta, tabula nefasta, tabula peccata, tabula aliena, tabula immunda. And my favorite of all, as my linguist friend pointed out, it is mellifluent. And when you use language, you should use language which is mellifluent. Grady, mellifluent means that which rolls off the tongue well. Aristotle calls diction the power of saying what can be said. You don't just say the first word that comes to mind. Mellifluent means it sounds better. It sounds better than tabula polluta. It sounds better than tabula nefasta, better than tabula peccata, and it is this, tabula maculosa. It almost sounds phonetically as if it's directly opposite to tabula rasa. Tabula maculosa, it's where we get our word immaculate. Maculosis means soiled or spoiled, so tabula maculosa means the soiled, just like I put a spot on the white tablet this morning, the soiled canvas, the spotted canvas. And as I said, that's the problem with our children. They're not blank slates, they're polluted slates. Their conscience is stained. It is soiled by sin. Well, for those of you who weren't here this morning, I portrayed set forth a couple of Monet paintings to show you how beautiful Monet's art is, and then a blank canvas as well as an illustration of two things. First of all, your responsibility as a parent to be, as it were, a divine portrait artist, to paint the child, if you will, in the image of God. And then the blank canvas to show you, staggeringly so, what tremendous challenge lay before Monet to bring light and color and form to a blank canvas, and how that your responsibility as a parent is even tougher than Monet's. Because Monet worked with a blank canvas. Locke says that you work with a blank canvas. Freud says you work with a blank canvas. But Paul says you don't. You work with a soiled, dirtied, spoiled canvas. And so the purpose of those paintings was to show you what you should do. The purpose of the spoiled, soiled canvas to remind you how difficult your job is. Well, let us refresh ourselves about these three thoughts then from this morning. First of all, listen, parent. You are to be a receptor of light. That's what Monet did when he stood with eye upon nature, eye upon light, eye upon water, eye upon flowers, eye upon nature, beauty. He was a receptor of light. And that's the point I'm trying to make with you this morning, especially in the 11 o'clock message, about the law of God, about the moral law of God, about the penal law of God, about perceiving God in the law in your child's heart, about you being a conduit for God's law through your life as you live out the righteousness of God. You are, like Monet, a receptor of light. You're to receive the light from God, and you're to receive the light from your child, as it were. What a terrifying moment it is for any parent, the moment. Have you seen your child awaken to moral consciousness yet? Have you seen it, Eric, in your son? Can I tell the story about Trey in the grocery store when he was little bitty? Was that the first moment we knew? At least in a public sense, it was the first moment we knew. How old was he? Not quite two. We were going through the line at the grocery store. And Trey had reached and taken something. He was hugging me. I need a child. Come here, Connor. Come here, buddy. Hey, do you mind helping? Hey, he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. You want to help me out? It's all right. It's all right. Taylor, will you come help me out, baby? Come here. Hey, Connor, I appreciate an honest man. All right, Miss Taylor. Trey was about this age, younger. And so I was like this, paying the lady. And he was looking over my shoulder, and his little hand reached, and what did he get, Miss Judy? Package of gum. And what did he do with it? And then we ask him, what? Oh, yeah. And then what did he say when we asked him? Well, if I recall, he lied and denied. Is that right? But it was absolutely shocking to us as parents that our little less than 2-year-old boy had gotten and tried to hide this package of gum. You'll have a moment, Eric or Reagan, like that. You already had it? Well, now, I mean in a public sense, not just privately in the home. You had a public, your child's already sinned in public, Reagan? Can you share with us?
Oh, there have been, some of the, I guess a couple of the most obvious have been, the sinus of rebel fry and the obvious. There are some times when Gilbert reaches something and then look, and she'll look at it and go,
oh, yeah.
Because he knows what he thinks. But I remember one time walking in, he had already been told not to get into some things, some cookingware on the shelf and that sort of thing. And I walk into the kitchen and he was into it. And I said, Connor. And he jumped. As soon as he saw that I was in the room, he jumped, which meant he was already on edge because he knew he was doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing. It wasn't he was startled by my presence. He was startled by my pot.
Right. I heard your voice in the garden. Yeah. Reagan, when I sensed that was Trey, especially in a public venue like it, it grieved my soul. It scared me. And when you see your child awaken in moral consciousness, even privately in the home, you'll see it when they're aware like that somehow. Parent, what's my point? You're supposed to be a receptor of the light. A receptor of light. And the light includes not only moral affirmation, but moral negation. In your child. And parent, that's God talking to you through your child. Saying, watch out. Stop them here. Enforce it there. Turn them yonder. That's the Lord speaking to you. Your eye, like Monet, on the divine life through your child. You are a receptor of light. The magic of Monet was not merely that he was a receptor of light, but that he was a refractor of light. Now, I know the real refraction for Monet occurred in the water and on the flower petal or on the crimson poppies. But there was something special about his eye, wasn't there? When I stood in the Musée de Monet in Paris, I stood, I don't know how long, in front of one of the water lily pictures, which I'd sort of grown tired of seeing too many of them. But this particular one, as they say, caught my eye. And I was spellbound. I saw something in the light of the painting that was alive, that I had never seen before in water lilies. It just charmed and captivated my eye. What was so charming and captivating about it is what Monet had done with the light, how he had refracted it in color. Refraction of light, as you know, is the breaking of light from white into its variegated colors. If you have a diamond, you can look into the diamond and it will refract the light. If you have a prism, you can look at the prism and it will refract the light. It will bend the light and will turn white to blue, to green, to red, and all shades there in between. There's this fountain where Trey and I fish. It comes out of the water and every time I go by it, it's a little thing. It's a beautiful thing. Every time I go by it, if I catch the light just right, a rainbow will appear. Well, when God shines on your eye through your child, you are not only supposed to be a receptor of the light, but a refractor of the light as well. Here's the high art of parenting. Refract the light from white to the varying glories of Christ. You see, the law is pure white, hot light. But the law, seen through the prism of grace, shows the variated glories of Christ. And that is the moment where you as a parent become artists, where you can take the canvas of your child's life and thereupon paint Christ. When you can relate your child's disobedience to mercy and you can communicate that to your child. When your child is punished and you can explain punishment to your child in such a way as they understand that Jesus was perfect or that God is just. I don't know how many ways you can tell Christ in relation to the bended light of the law, but I do know this, that as Christ is the prism of the law, discipline is your prism for God's light in your child to show them Christ. And if you pray for wisdom as a parent in those moments when light strikes your eye through your child, you can paint that canvas with Christ. You can teach them about mercy. You can teach them about forgiveness. You can teach them about substitutionary atonement. Even from a little child, you can teach them the various glories of Christ. So Monet was a receptor of light. He was a refractor of light, and so must you be as a parent. And I think, thirdly, I said he was an interpreter. Better stated, he was a conveyor of light. And isn't that the blessing of Monet to us? That we could walk in the Musée de Monet and we could stand in front of the Monet canvas and be thrilled. Isn't that the blessing even? So I think not everyone there was kidding this morning when I said that was a Monet. It's just a print. But isn't that the blessing even of a print, a Monet, that we can stand in front of it and wonder and be amazed and marvel at the glory of the light thereupon? That too is your responsibility as a parent. Not only receive the light, refract the light, but convey the light. Yeah, the light's coming to you through your baby. The light's coming to you through your child. But it has to go back to the canvas as well. And that's why your morality as a parent, your ability to shine upon your child, like light upon the canvas, like Monet's eye upon the canvas, your ability to be bright with holiness, your ability to be intellectually enlightening to your child about the beautiful things of grace. You are to be a conveyor of light to your child. And you have a harder job than Monet because you don't have a blank canvas with which to work. But remember this, dear sweet church. Plato said, art is twice removed from ultimate reality. The sky to the artist's mind to the canvas. Step one, sky to mind. Step two, mind to canvas. If we could have seen in Monet's mind, it would have been more beautiful than what was in the canvas. And we can look at the sky and the water lilies without looking at Monet. I can go fishing and see the wonders of nature firsthand, unseparated by the artist's pen or hand. Here's what I want you to see, church. You say, I can't paint like Monet. I can't be that kind of parent. Well, just remember. He who painted the sky for Monet is your God. He who silvered the waters for Monet is your God. He who made the light that struck Monet's eye is the same God who made the light in your child's heart and will give you a discerning wisdom and grace that you can be a receptor and a refractor and a conveyor of His light. God, said Paul, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. So, may you paint well this week. May you see light clearly. May you receive it, refract it, and convey it upon the canvases of your children's soul. Let's stand together. Our Father, I pray for Reagan, for Eric, for Jonathan, for the young man from Uruguay, and for every member of our church, and especially our young people. Lord, may the infants be touched with the graces of heaven. May their parents have eyes to catch divine light, and hands to throw it again upon the canvases of their children's souls. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.